From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Graz.
The Nebraska legislature is back in session on Monday. We'll talk about what to expect, what issues senators will attempt to address in just 17 days, and why a major pro-life bill could soon be on the agenda and what you can do to help get it passed. We'll get into all of this and more on this week's Capitol Connection. As always, we are broadcasting from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, just blocks away from our state capitol, where state senators are returning on Monday to reconvene and finish the remainder of this year's legislative session that was abruptly postponed and indefinitely suspended earlier this spring due to concerns with the coronavirus. But they are set to adjourn again and meet as a full legislature inside the state capitol on Monday. And according to the Lincoln Journal-Star, things are going to look different. Plexiglass barriers have been installed on senators' desks. There will be senators wearing masks and practicing social distancing as well. And there are long days ahead with many priority bills and intense issues awaiting senators. And it will be different for others as well. Lobbyists will not be allowed to send in messages or notes into the legislative chamber or to gather at the lobby doors. Media will be confined to an upper balcony, and no one from the public can watch in person, but you can still watch online. It's streamed on the state legislature's website. So other than these changes in a new normal, here is what to expect. The legislature has 17 working days left for their 2020 legislative session. So they will reconvene on Monday, and those 17 working days will be spread out, concluding on August 13th. 10 of these 17 days have already been reserved for late nights, meaning senators can be meeting up until 10 p.m. on those days that they're scheduled to run late. And the speaker has made clear that priority bills will be the focus of the remainder of the session. And his goal is to get to all of those that are out of committee and have them debated, which is about 15 bills were still stuck in committee. So those are not likely to be heard by the legislature this session. Every senator, we have 49 state senators, and each one gets to designate one bill as their priority. But you can expect much of, if not all, of the focus for the remaining days to be spent in large part debating property tax cuts and business tax incentives. Those are two major proposals that were still being worked on the last time the legislature met. And those issues have not yet been resolved, and senators will take another crack at tackling both of those issues to see if they can move legislation forward to provide property tax relief to Nebraskans, as well as pass new business tax incentives that are set to expire at the end of this year. Balancing the state budget will be another tough obstacle that the legislature will attempt to tackle, because state revenue will be down substantially due to the impact of the coronavirus and shutdowns. So the fiscal impact and budget adjustments that will need to be made could be serious, and it's yet to be seen what exactly senators will do in response or how they will address that issue. But it's going to play out over these 17 days. One thing for sure is no one knows quite exactly how this is all going to unfold. One thing we know for sure is that it will look different. It will be a different session than we've ever experienced before. Senators will be most likely wearing masks. They'll be spread out across the chamber. There's plexiglass barriers. Lobbyists and news media will be isolated from senators during floor debate, all while trying to tackle property tax relief, creation of a new business development tax incentive program, as well as making substantial budget adjustments. So it's a tall order, but that's not all. That's not all that is on the table, and those aren't the only issues that will be addressed by our representatives that will impact the lives of real people in our state. In fact, there is one major piece of legislation that senators will soon have the opportunity to address that specifically deals with one of the greatest injustices in our society and how we treat the most vulnerable among us. And that is LB 814, introduced and prioritized by State Senator Susan Geist of Lincoln. And this bill, LB 814, would prohibit the practice of dismembering preborn children in the womb while they are still alive. It's been a while since we've talked about this proposal on the show, since the legislature has been suspended for several months now. But this bill is now going to be coming to the forefront. This legislation, it is a great pro-life bill, but it's not really just a pro-life bill. It's a pro-humanity bill. It's a pro-science bill. It's a pro-compassion bill, because this legislation is not outright prohibiting abortion. It's saying, look, this specific procedure of literally tearing apart, ripping the limbs off of a living child while it's in the second trimester, it has fully developed arms and legs, it can smile, it can yawn, it can hiccup, it's moving, it's growing. This procedure is so inhumane that it should have no place in our society. That's what the bill says. So again, this has nothing to do with preventing women from getting an abortion. And it is not, as so many opponents like to try to argue, telling a woman what she can do with her body. It's telling an abortionist that you can't tear the arms and legs and crush the skull of an unborn child while it's alive. That's all the bill says. And unfortunately, despite some very compelling testimony at the bill's committee hearing back in February, this bill was introduced on the very first day of this year's legislative session, back in January, and then the committee hearing was in February. Unfortunately, it still at this point remains in committee, even as there's only 17 days left in this year's session. State legislature's Judiciary Committee, to which this bill was assigned, has taken no action on the bill. It's just sitting there. It was introduced on day one. It has broad support. There are 25 co-sponsors on this bill. There's bipartisan support, and yet it remains locked in committee. And so right before the legislature was suspended, Senator Geist, who sponsored this bill, she actually filed a pull motion. And a pull motion is a rare but important legislative procedure that allows senators to vote to pull a bill out of committee if it's stuck there. And so that's where we're at with the bill right now. And we believe that motion to pull the bill out of committee is going to be voted on very soon this next week. And so that means that your state senator, every single state senator, will have the opportunity to vote on that pull motion to say whether or not this bill, not even, frankly, the pull motion vote isn't even whether or not the bill should pass. It's whether or not we should even have this discussion or this debate and give the bill a chance to be debated and to pass into law, or if we should just keep it bottled up in committee. And we believe that this bill absolutely deserves to be heard and debated by the full legislature. And this vote, again, it's going to be happening this next week. This is such an important opportunity to reach out and contact your state senator and urge them to vote yes on the pull motion for LB 814, because no human being should be torn apart limb by limb. And yet that is exactly what is happening across the country and even here in Nebraska. Dismemberment abortions are typically performed between 13 and 24 weeks of pregnancy, when a baby is too large to remove as a whole. So at this stage of development, a baby has a beating heart, fully developed arms and legs, and can swallow, yawn, hiccup, and even smile. Abortionists will use a clamp and a grasping instrument with rows of sharp teeth to grasp and tear the limbs from the living child's body. And after removing pieces of the child's skull, the abortionist uses a different instrument to scrape the uterus and remove the placenta and remaining parts of the baby and extract it piece by piece. At that point, the abortionist then collects all of the baby's body parts and reassembles them to make sure that all of the pieces have been removed. And I do not say any of that to be graphic intentionally. That's literally just describing what this procedure is. That's what it does. That's how it's performed. That's what we're talking about with this legislation. And that is what is being done. That is sanctioned by law in our state. And so, like any human, what happens is the unborn baby bleeds to death as it's being ripped apart. And since the baby is removed in pieces, there is also an immediate risk of major complications for the mother with this procedure, including bleeding due to laceration or puncture of the woman's uterus, as well as infection from the baby not being fully removed. And, you know, I mentioned earlier the part of the testimony that was given in support of this bill back in February when a committee hearing was held. And so as a refresher, this is so impactful and so important. There was actually a former abortionist, a former medical director for Planned Parenthood, who came and testified in support of this bill and urged senators to vote yes and advance this legislation because it's good law, it's good policy, and this procedure shouldn't be happening. This is what Dr. Kathy Altman shared with our State Judiciary Committee back in February.
Chairman Lathrop and committee members, my name is Dr. Kathy Altman, K-A-T-H-I-A-U-L-T-M-A-N. I'm a retired board-certified OBGYN and a fellow of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists with over 35 years of experience. I was the co-founder and co-director of the First Rate Treatment Center in Jacksonville, Florida, and served as the medical director for Planned Parenthood of Northeast Florida. I performed first trimester suction D&C abortions and second trimester dismemberment abortions. I've also personally had an abortion. A dismemberment abortion, or D&E, is generally done between 13 to 24 weeks gestation when it becomes difficult to remove the baby's body with a suction turette alone. During a D&E, I would drain the amniotic fluid using a suction curette, bringing the baby into the lower portion of the uterus. I used a clamp to grasp whatever I could, usually an arm or a leg, and by pulling down and twisting, I would tear it from the body and place it on a tray. Once I couldn't get anything else, I would open my clamp wider and grasp and crush the chest and then the head. I could tell when I had done this because the white substance, the brains, would leak out. Once her bleeding was under control and I had accounted for all the body parts, I would remove the instruments. We already have a large body of evidence to support the fact that the fetus feels pain at 20 weeks gestation. However, the authors of a recent comprehensive review of the literature in 2020 concluded that the fetus may experience pain as early as 12 weeks gestation. This has moral implications for abortion procedures. Providing fetal analgesia is now the standard of care for fetal surgery. I support this bill because it prevents the infliction of needless pain and suffering on innocent human beings and preserves the integrity of the medical profession. A major benefit is that it will spare mothers the agony and guilt of knowing that their child was torn limb from limb while it was alive. The technology to cause fetal death prior to second trimester abortion is already standard practice in many abortion clinics for this very reason. When I was doing dismemberment abortions, I was totally focused on making this procedure as painless as possible for my patient, but I never considered the pain that the baby might be experiencing. I hope that you will have more compassion on these innocent human beings than I did and pass this bill. We regulate the way in which animals are killed to prevent this kind of cruelty. Certainly we owe as much to our own offspring.
So that is the reality of this procedure and what LB 814 is seeking to bring an end to. And there we have straight from a former abortionist, someone who has performed that procedure, saying this should not be happening. We cannot allow this to continue, both for the lives of these precious unborn children and for the lives of women. Unborn babies are simply not puzzles that should be pieced back together after an abortion, and they shouldn't have to bleed to death by having their limbs torn apart. There is no longer a debate. There is no debate about whether a preborn child is alive. The only debate remaining, and the debate that our state senators will be having, is whether that child is a life worthy of protection. And this bill, this issue is so important for all the reasons that we've already talked about, because the right to life is the most fundamental issue. If we don't get this one right, nothing else matters. And yet still, I think there's also something that we should all be thinking about, and I want to challenge you to think about, is that, you know, our country, we are going through so much, and there are conversations and debates and dialogues and sermons taking place everywhere, essentially, about injustice, about speaking out, about standing up for the vulnerable. And those are great, important conversations that we need to be having, that needs to happen. And so I hope what people are also asking is, can this also be included in the conversation about justice and equality in America? This is not a tragic event that should never happen, that happened somewhere else. This is being done lawfully in our own state. Innocent human lives being violently ended. And here we have, this is something tangible, something real, something you can see, something that is going to unfold. This is a real bill, a real piece of legislation that right now is pending before the Nebraska legislature, and there will be a vote this coming week on whether or not the legislature should debate and vote on a piece of legislation that says you cannot dismember and tear apart a living child in the womb. And how much are we hearing about that? What is your pastor doing? What is your church doing? We should be encouraging them. Let's take the lead on this. This is something happening in our state. We know that the way we treat the vulnerable in our society says something about us. We know that abortion ends the life of an innocent human being. We know that abortion harms women and that it harms men. We know that we must do better for women and preborn children in our state. And this is that opportunity. And of course, there is always a right way and a wrong way to address this issue, especially from the pulpit or in churches. But if all that's being said is nothing, silence, then maybe it's time to ask some tough questions and to have some tough conversations. Why are we not talking about this reality that's unfolding within our very own state, and it's unfolding legally? And there's steps, there's recourse that can be taken to correct that. In Nebraska, the legislature has one house, the Senate. We don't have a state Senate and a state House of Representatives. There's one. Why? Because the people are the second body. And if people aren't speaking out about this, if they're not contacting their senator, their representative, the person who is down there to represent them, then we're not going to see the change that we want and need to see. Planned Parenthood has worked really hard. They want nothing more than to keep this bill stuck in committee. And they and the pro-choice lobby they're going to be out in force to defeat this bill. And policy battles are won by the people who show up. And we talked about it last week. We absolutely know that policy, government laws, those are not the things that are going to change people's hearts. But that is not what law and government and policy were created by God to do. And we also know that the laws that our government passes impact and directly affect the lives of real people. And that is in a very tangible, literal sense when we are talking about legislation to end dismemberment abortion. And yes, this is a tough issue. Yes, it's controversial. But we shouldn't base what we talk about and what we're going to speak out about based off of what is perceived as controversial. But if the body of Christ, if the body of Christ aren't going to be the ones to stand up and to speak on behalf of innocent children in the womb created in the image and likeness of God, then who's going to? It's not going to be the world. It's not going to be the world that celebrates and advocates for abortion. It's not going to be our culture that is out there telling people that abortion is empowering to women and that celebrates by lighting the One World Trade Center pink when New York passes an extreme pro-abortion law. Did you know that in New York City, if you are a black baby, statistically, it is more likely that your life will be ended in an abortion clinic than you will be born alive. That's what we know about abortion and how it plays out. Black children in New York City are more likely to be aborted than born alive. That's heartbreaking. So we can't be silent about this. That doesn't mean we have to yell at people or be crass or rude or purposely offensive. But we can't stay silent. We can't stay silent. And at the very least, we should be contacting our senators, our representatives, and asking them and urging them to vote yes on this bill. It's easy. It's easy to stand up and say that we want justice and that people should be treated equally. And it's absolutely critical and important that we do that when we see injustice and people not being treated equally. But it's hard. It's harder to stand up and say that this abortion procedure shouldn't be allowed to take place. But we're not called to do the easy things. We're called to do the hard things. And you know what? I think we can do both of those things. It's not either or one or the other. You can speak out about racial injustice and stand up for equality and be pro-life and advocate for the unborn. In fact, that's a consistent position because as believers, we should be dedicated to protecting human life from conception to natural death. And we do this because we recognize that every human life is created in the image of God. We have to seek to build a culture of life that protects and affirms the sanctity of human life. And so we should oppose policies that promote abortion and allow innocent children to be violently torn apart limb by limb inside their own mother's womb. And we know this as science and technology have improved. We're able to see what we all inherently know, that a baby is a life worth protecting at all stages of development. So next week, this is a big moment for our state. Senators will be voting on LB 814. Don't let this moment pass you by. You have a part to play in this. And if you visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, we have information about LB 814, about dismemberment abortion, and how you can contact your state senator. So please take a moment this weekend and visit our website and send a message to your state senator urging them to vote yes for LB 814. And let's protect life in Nebraska. We'll be back next week with more updates and information. Until then, I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.